All right, as promised, if you're on hold, stay there. We are joined right now by a former NHL left winger. He played 14 years in the NHL for the Flames, the Blackhawks, the Mighty Ducks, the Red Wings, Whalers, Hurricanes, Kings, and Predators. He is an NHL Network analyst. NHL Network is airing live coverage on NHL Now and NHL Tonight before and after every playoff game, including all the way through the Stanley Cup Final, which Stu Grimson is a part of, and he joins us right now. Stu, it has been more than a minute. It's great to have you on the show. Stu, how are you?
More than a minute, Romy. How about 3 decades worth? Listen, let's don't leave it this long the next time around.
Man, I'm telling you, Stu, you are so right. More than a minute, more like decades. All right, Stu, so good to have you. I appreciate that. Hey, before we talk postseason play, I just want to jump in for a few moments because it's been a moment and talk about your career. You collected over 2,000 penalty minutes in your career, yet it was clear from our conversations back in the day and your work on NHL Network right now that there was so much more to you than just a willingness to drop the gloves. In fact, you earned a law degree after you retired. So I'm curious, when people who remembered you as an enforcer on the ice, when they meet you off the ice now, generally what is their reaction?
Yeah, I it's a fair question. I get it a lot, Romy. People are a bit astonished when they get a chance to kind of meet me in person. And I get that. Like, even during my playing career, and I think this is, you know, a characteristic that many of us have just in our everyday life. You see somebody, they work in a vocation, you observe them from a distance, you form a certain set of preconceived notions about them. But when you get a chance to have an actual face-to-face, a live conversation with them, you get to find out, you maybe learn that their personalities are very different from what you observe on kind of the outside. So I get that frequently. People are a bit surprised, but, you know, it comes with the territory.
I was going to say, Stu, you know what? You and I have different vocations. Well, now a very similar vocation. I know exactly what you're talking about. Like, I've done this a long time, and I always say what I mean, and I mean what I say. But you got to separate the guy from the show, even though everything I say, I believe. But I know exactly what you're talking about. Let me ask you this really quickly, and then we'll move on. Your memoir, The Grim Reaper, was published 5 years ago, and it includes the subtitle, The Life and Career of a Reluctant Warrior. I mean, being a warrior obviously helped get you to the NHL, and then you had a long career, 14 seasons. So, Stu, what was it about that gig or the responsibility that at times made you feel some reluctance?
Yeah, you know, and this is true of a lot of guys that play that role, Romy. It's, you know, early in your life when you begin to see, and many of us, you know, we've chosen this path at the end of the day. So, you know, it doesn't come as, it doesn't come involuntarily for us. But having said that, it's a difficult role to play. For many of us, we're not playing, you know, we don't command the kind of ice time that that some of the top end guys do. We're playing, you know, in a range of 4, 6, maybe 8 minutes a night on average. And when you're asked to go out and provide a physical role, many times dropping the gloves with your counterpart on the other side, it's hard to manufacture that adrenaline. It's hard to, you know, to be competitive in that situation when you've been, you know, relegated to the bench for much of the earlier part of the game. So that's a hard role to play, and it takes a good amount of time, I think, for a lot of us to adopt a set of characteristics to kind of grow into it. So when I kind of maybe co-opted that adjective, that phrase, reluctant warrior, you know, that's kind of where it comes from. By the end of my career, far less reluctant, very accepting of my role, very willing to do it, but able to do it in a much more maybe just professional way, if that makes sense.
Hey, Stu, it does make sense. Great insight, and I appreciate you letting us in. So let me ask you about the current series, some of what's going on right now. The Hurricanes, Stu, fought off elimination for the second straight game against the Rangers. They had 4 goals in the third to take Game 5 at MSG. Considering Carolina's been in every single game in this series, Stu, how much of a shot would you give them to overcome the long odds to keep this thing going and maybe even rally from that 3-0 series deficit?
You know, I honestly think it's about a 60-40, maybe 75-25 in favor of the Rangers prevailing in this series. But I do give the Carolina Hurricanes an honest shot. It's an interesting you know, a pair of teams, the way these two match up, Carolina on the one hand, they've added some weapons in the form of Gensel and Kuznetsov, but they really have forged their identity largely on this, you know, hard to play against, very connected, very detail oriented, very strong defensive club versus, you know, it's a more high powered, hard charging group, maybe more offensively dynamic on the other side in the Rangers. And honestly, Romy, for me, I think this one now comes down to which team feels the urgency to the greatest degree, and even more importantly, which team taps into that urgency. Because, you know, in Game 5, my observation was this. Carolina is up against the wall. They recognize just to stay alive, they've got to put their A game on the ice, and Anderson has to be solid. They came through on all levels where that's concerned. But the Rangers, by contrast, I kind of felt this team is, they had kind of got back on their heels, maybe didn't give their opponent full measure of respect, and maybe relying on, hey, we're back home, some of this should come naturally for us. And even if players aren't saying that outwardly, I've been in rooms where you can sense that vibe. And if that's kind of creeping into a majority of the players on your roster as you enter a Game 5 situation like the Rangers did, you see what can happen. It's like a 5%, a 10% collective sag. And I think the Rangers just didn't come to Game 5 with the right set of urgency. And I will flip that coin and offer you the following. I think knowing Peter Laviolette, knowing that he'll mark this game as the most important of the year so far for the Rangers, this group will be ready. I suspect that they will tap into that urgency. I'm really curious to see how Game 6 goes.
Stu Grimson joining us. I love it. Stu, so in terms of the matchups, and it's all about matchups this time of year especially, before you go, let me ask you about the Panthers. They're looking to earn a spot in the Eastern Conference Final for the second straight year by closing out their series with the Bruins tonight. A year ago, Boston won the President's Trophy for having the best record in hockey, and now they're on the brink of another early exit at the hands of Florida. So, Stu, are the Panthers just a bad matchup for the Bruins? Or are there larger issues at play for the Bees?
I think both are true. Both are true. And they kind of go hand in hand, I think, Romy. Florida is a team, you know, we talked a lot about Carolina, their identity, how well they know it, how effectively they used it in a Game 5 scenario. The Panthers are similar to that, in my estimation. This is a team that they trot out their share of offensive weapons as well, but they play a very connective, defensively suppressive game. But more than any other group in the, you know, left in the tournament so far, Florida's got this really nasty, playoff-heavy, kind of gritty edge to them that they can play the game any way you want to. And frankly, if you want to take it into the mud with this group, they're going to beat you, you know, six ways a Sunday, if you're prepared to go that way. So just a quick point on the Bruins by contrast. I was suspicious of what this team was capable of, subtracting Bergeron and Krejci from the mix to start the year. That's your number one and your number two center. I mean, that kind of really, it just kind of harvested the backbone right out of this roster. And now add to that, Brad Marchand, their emotional leader, one of their key offensive weapons, is not available, you know, going into the next matchup for these two groups. I worry about the depth for Boston in spite of the fact that they've still got some really attractive pieces, some really attractive assets left in the roster.
Some tremendous insight. He played 14 years in the NHL. He is all over the NHL Network as an analyst. He is Stu Grimson. Stu, we are not going to wait so long. Next time, I'll get you back here. It's so good to get caught up with you, Stu. Great to hear your voice. Thanks so much for that, Stu. We'll do it again soon.
All right, Romy. Good to be with you. Pleasure is all mine.
No, me too, Stu. Great talking to you. So good to get caught up with Stu Grimson. Love it. Love talking hockey, but I love getting caught up with an old friend. Again, he is an NHL Network analyst. NHL Network is airing live coverage on NHL Now and NHL Tonight, before and after every playoff game, all the way through the Stanley Cup Final, and Stu is a part of that.